Well, brethren, today the world is going about their regular business. You know, they have no idea that why we're meeting, or that even some people even know that we are meeting. And do we realize how blessed we are? Just to think about the privilege to be here, to be called by God, to have the knowledge of His truth, and to be reminded of a purpose that is so staggering, sometimes I don't think we fully grasp it. That's what God is asking us to do as children, as we do look up to Him. And when He's given us His instruction book, the Bible, He wants us to look into that deeply, to study it daily, to read it, to really drink in of it and have it written on our hearts. And there's warnings in the Bible, many warnings that He gives to us as children, that He's saying, I want you to heed them. So let me share with you a quick story about some individuals who didn't heed a warning. Back in 1962, two young men were traveling through the mountains of Peru. They were on an expedition. So they hiked around, taking pictures of the scenery and so forth. But they came upon a glacier. And as they saw that glacier, they realized there wasn't something quite right about it. And so they looked at it closer and they realized it was very unstable. What really bothered them was down in the valley below, there were thousands of individuals that lived that were in the way of that glacier. So, as anybody would do, they went down to the town after checking it out more, and they started warning people, saying, do you realize the situation up there? It's dire. Well, they continued to tell people. It went through 2 weeks, and the authorities got word of it, and they threw them in jail. Like, you're disturbing people. You know, you're telling people something that's not right. And so they, after getting out of jail, they had to relent or recant what they said and go home. But 8 years later, in 1970, there was an earthquake in that area that caused that glacier to break loose. And when it did, it traveled down that mountain with, you know, millions of tons of ice and rock, and it covered that town. And they say approximately 20 to 25,000 people perished in that avalanche. It was the world's deadliest avalanche. You think about that. They had warning. Those people that were there, they heard, some of them at least did, and the authorities tried to quiet that. And my thought is, if only the people had paid attention to the warning that was given, if they had listened carefully and thought about it, maybe taken action. They had years to prepare, but they ignored that, went about their daily business. And it did come as a thief in the night, you could say, you know, whether it was during day or night, they had no time. And so we should ask ourselves the question, are we paying attention to the warnings that God gives us? Because they're all throughout the words of God, all throughout the Bible. Let's begin today in Leviticus 23, in verse 1. As we think about this day that we're here assembled, a beautiful feast of trumpets. You know, we live in a country that is still so blessed. We have food available, so many things to be thankful for. And yet, even on top of that, we have the knowledge that this is one of God's feast days. Leviticus 23 and verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. I love that statement. God is saying, don't anybody get this wrong. You know, these aren't this particular people over here. These aren't just the Jews' feasts. These are His feasts, and therefore all of His children. That applies to us. And you think about the word holy convocation. In other words, a sacred assembly. It's a beautiful thing that we're even gathered together to hear God's words and to think about them, to ponder them. And we're literally commanded to come into God's presence and to worship Him and to do it with our whole heart, to do it with the right attitude. And yet not too many people today are assembled. Most people don't even know. And we know their time will come when God opens their eyes. And so these festivals belong to God, and everyone should keep them, but one day everyone will keep them when God reveals that to them. Notice verse 23 here in Leviticus 23. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Eternal. So we know we're not to do any work. you know, similar to the Sabbath, which is also today. So we're accustomed to that. But today is the first day of the seventh month, the month of Ethanim, or it's also called Tishri. And so we're here to worship God. And it's stated there that this is a memorial. And that word means that it's intended to remind people on a yearly basis, sort of like what we do for an anniversary or a birthday, where, you know, we remember it. And so this, God says these days are memorials. He wants us to remember what these days picture, all of his holy days. He's reminding us of future events, and he's showing us what he intends to do. And we're very blessed to know that, because so many today are not aware. Now, the phrase blowing of trumpets is the Hebrew word teruah. And here's some of its meaning. It's an acclamation of joy. It's a battle cry, especially the noise of trumpets, an alarm, a loud noise. So this is what this Feast of Trumpets is all about. And in the God's Word translation, it says, it's translated this way: it will be a memorial day, a holy assembly announced by the blowing of ram's horns. So normally that was done with a shofar. And here's the definition of a shofar. It's a horn from a clean animal, usually a ram's horn, blown by the ancient Hebrews in battle and during religious ceremonies. So as they blew the trumpet, it was perfect for getting everyone's attention. They could hear it for long distances. And today, God is wanting to get our individual attention on this Feast of Trumpets. So my title today is, When the Trumpet Sounds, Will You Be Ready? Because throughout history, not everyone has been ready, just like that town in Peru. They weren't ready for what they had been warned of. And throughout history, one of the main uses of the trumpet has been to sound a warning. That's part of what this day is about. Loud noises get people's attention and it moves them to action. At least it should. We know that God told Moses to make two silver trumpets, and they were to form and fashion them and use them for a special purpose. It's as if God was speaking through those trumpets, because he said, tell the people this. And so the way they did it, they would blow the trumpet in a certain way, and it would tell all the people to gather. They would blow it in another way, and it was just the elders were to come. They blew it another way, and it was like, it's time to move camp. Another way, and it's time for war. Get ready. And of course, they also blew it on the feast days. So in Numbers 10, it mentions all those. And God spoke through these trumpets. He was sending a message to the children of Israel, just as he sends a message to us today through the words of the prophets and apostles. Brethren, this feast day is a wake-up call for the people of God. He's simply wanting us to get ready for a tremendous future. And a lot of events are going to come about. In fact, amazing events are set to happen at the sound of a trumpet. And we're aware of that. When you think about, usually what comes to mind with the seventh trumpet is the return of our Lord and Savior. I mean, how miraculous and powerful that will be. The resurrection of the saints. Those that are alive, changed to spirit. Those that are dead, raised up as well. But there's also terrible events that come with the trumpets. And we'll talk about some of those today, because we don't always stop to reflect on the full meaning of trumpets. We need to be ready for both of those, because now is our salvation. It's our day to get ready, to prepare. Brethren, when God wakes up the whole world with seven trumpets, man will have a choice of how to respond to that alarm. He's not trying to wake up the church at that time. That's what we should be doing right now. And so those trumpets should be for the world, and will they change? Therefore, we've been invited to get ready now. And if we delay that, if we put that off, we will deeply regret it. Let's turn back to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. Prior to the return of Jesus Christ, God will make sure that everyone hears his trumpet blasts. And I think none of us can say, oh, I didn't hear the warning. I didn't know what was going to happen. And as we look at the scriptures today, we'll see that all his warnings are loud and clear. Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified by it his angel to his servant John. And let's skip down to verse 3. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy. So we know that's important. We're told to study. We're told to comprehend and to ponder these. But it goes on to say, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Brethren, that word keep means to guard by keeping your eyes on it. I mean, you're going to protect it because it's valuable. You don't want to let go of it. It means to hold fast, to observe, to watch. And it says that the time is near. Now, if you lived 1,000 years ago, you'd say, well, it doesn't seem near. But the point is that the word near there means at hand. Just as Jesus Christ preached, just as John the Baptist did, they said the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, that is your time to get ready. It doesn't matter how close it is to the time of Christ. What matters is the time that you have in life given by God, that you're preparing and getting ready for the return of Christ. God is saying, wake up. He's saying, be on guard. He's also saying, you don't have to suffer the events that are coming if you listen to my warnings. And we know God's kingdom is rapidly approaching, so we must guard these prophecies. We must do something about it to apply them in our lives. Verse 10 here in Revelation 1, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. So look at how John is comparing God's voice to a trumpet, which is what we need to do. You know, these feasts of trumpets and all the things that it pictures, we need to picture that as God's voice talking to us. And so here it mentions the Lord's day, but that's better translated as day of the Lord, as mentioned in other scriptures. And it refers to a time of wrath that will come on the whole world, a time that will come as a thief in the night. So therefore, we need to be preparing now and getting ready. And John hears this loud voice like a trumpet, and the next verse indicates who is speaking. I mean, my Bible, it's a red letter edition, and those are the words of Christ. And so that voice like a trumpet was the words of God. And we need to consider that, that his voice is like a trumpet warning. You know, you think back about Israel when they gathered at Mount Sinai, and when they heard that miraculous sound of a trumpet, it got louder and louder. It says the people trembled. I can't imagine what it was like. But God wants us to stop and reflect and honor him, respect him, fear him, even tremble to a degree of what he's telling us. And as we look at the seven trumpets mentioned here in Revelation, it's clear our time to prepare is now. We can't wait till next year. You look at some of the people that are fine one day, and then all of a sudden they're in the hospital or their lives ended. Belinda had a cousin this last week. She got sick at the beginning of the week, and by the end of the week, she was dead. They don't even know. It wasn't COVID, they said. It was something else. Some kind of heart infection that just took over in there. So what I'm saying is, if we apply that to us, we do not know when our last day is. We don't know when we have the health and the energy to do what God is asking us to do, so we can't put it off. Brother, none of us can say that God hasn't given us proper warning. He's invited us. He's opened our eyes. He's given us time. So what will we do with it? Just like the people in that town of Peru, they ignored it. They said it's not important. And we can do the same thing as Christians. We really need to stand in awe of God and take those words to heart. Let's go back to the book of Revelation, chapter 6. Well, we're in Revelation, so let's go to chapter 6 here. And most of us are aware, if we've been in the church for decades, that God gives us seven seals mentioned here in Revelation 6. There's parallel chapters in Matthew 24 that kind of bring a little more light to that. But of those seven seals, we know the seventh seal breaks down into seven trumpets. And of those seven trumpets, the seventh trumpet breaks down into the seven last plagues or bowls. And so we understand that, and we have to think about that. Well, here in Revelation 6, it mentions the first four seals, those four horsemen that ride throughout the earth, and they bring religious deception, war, famine, and pestilence. But the thing is, those will intensify as we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ. Let's notice here in verse 7, Revelation 6, verse 7. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades, or the grave, followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Brethren, think about that. How conditions, these four horsemen have been riding throughout history with wars and deceptive ways and so forth, but they're going to get worse in the coming years. And you think about here, it's saying that a quarter of all people will die through these plagues, let's say. That is staggering, whether it's been throughout history or right prior to the Great Tribulation. Either way, it's a humongous number of people that don't realize that their life will be cut short in that way. And so that should make us stop and think that what are we doing with our days, with our calling? How are we reacting to that? And as the fifth seal begins, the Great Tribulation, the countdown starts to Christ's return, which is that final 3.5 years. We're not quite there yet. We don't know when that day will come. But like that avalanche that broke loose, are we going to be ready? That's what we need to ask ourselves. Because in Matthew 24, and I'll just refer to this, in verse 21 it says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time." Now, if we just stop there for a moment, I'm sure we've read some books that talk about some pretty horrendous wars in the past. The amount of bloodshed, the amount of death. And here it says, nothing's been worse. And it says, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So God will not allow man to die from his sins, his ways. But it's going to get pretty bad before then. And we need to stop and think, are we preparing for that? We know the Great Tribulation is also referred to as Jacob's trouble. And that time is drawing closer. Jacob, house of Israel, you know, the Israelite descendants that we know, even America is, you know, descended from one of the sons of Joseph, Manasseh. And notice what Jeremiah says in his book, Jeremiah 30, verse 7, just referring to it. He says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, and it is a time of Jacob's trouble." So referring to those descendants that come from that line, and throughout time, God's prophets had warned of the shocking future events that will come. Once again, pictured by this day, not just the return of Christ, but these other six trumpets that are prior to that return of Jesus Christ. In the United Church of God Bible commentary regarding that verse we just read in Jeremiah, it says this: this will be a time of terrible calamity for the American people, other nations of British heredity, certain peoples of Northwest Europe, and the Jews, to soon be followed by the entire world suffering the greatest catastrophes imaginable. All the dreadful events of human history will pale before the awful and horrific events that are coming. Brethren, when we stop and think about this, none of us want this, but it is coming. God has prophesied it. And these seals are leading up to the trumpet blast, a part of what this day pictures. And we need to take that to heart. We really need to stop and think about where we're at in our life, what we do day to day, the little habits, the things we say, the things we think, the way we treat people. God is asking us, are you going to be ready when Christ does return? And so, brethren, we need to take that to heart. Let's look here now in, staying in Revelation 6, let's look at verse 12. As we come up to the first trumpet, this is a few events, few of the seals preceding it. Revelation 6 and verse 12 says, "And I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its figs, its late figs, when it is shaken by a mighty wind." And verse 14, "Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place." You talk about an earthquake. There's never been anything else like this. And yet God says, I'm telling you, I'm prophesying, this is coming. And we know his words are true. And so the people, if we continue to read, the people are so terrified by these events, no matter who they are, you know, kings or regular people, they hide in the rocks. They're asking and begging that the rocks would fall on them so they can escape the traumatic events that are happening. Individuals will want to die. And yet, what they don't realize, there will be so much more to come after that. And God's purpose then is to wake people up. You know, this isn't always what we want to hear, you know, these events, but these trumpets, this day pictures all seven trumpets, and we need to consider that God is asking people to repent, and to overcome. He's invited us as first fruits to kind of be on the leading edge of that, to make changes now in our lives so that we're not kind of caught unawares and have to go through these terrible times. Brethren, this feast should remind us that God's voice is warning us right now. He's saying, the kingdom is coming. Will you be ready? Revelation 8 and verse 1. Brethren, the world is headed towards utter destruction unless God intervenes. He's told us that, and we know the nations are asleep, and yet God will wake them up and get them ready. He's getting them ready to teach them. And so even all these terrible things, they have a positive effect to him because he's saying, I'm going to wake up my children so they're ready to learn, ready to submit. God is wanting us to help in teaching the nations. So we need to know these things and be practicing them now so that we're ready to help out. Brethren, I'm going to play, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the shofar. I just copied on a little recorder here a few sounds of that. And so I'll play that with the various trumpets that we mentioned here. Now, I don't know what that sound is going to sound like, but they're going to hear it all over the world and it'll be so loud. But here's just a little idea to think about as people hear a sound and they begin to think about what is coming. Actually, I forgot to turn my recorder on. One second. Okay. Now, can you imagine that, you know, maybe 1,000 times louder, whatever, to be heard around the whole world? And as people hear that, I go, what is that? What's going on? And nothing's happened yet, so they are not going to picture the events that are coming. So let's read Revelation 8 and verse 1, because it says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So they're going to be blowing trumpets, blasts like this. Who knows what it'll be? You know, a sound like a shofar or other words, but it will literally terrify people as they hear a sound so loud. And it's fitting that we talk about these trumpets on this feast day. Yes, we usually look to the seventh trumpet, the return of Jesus Christ, the return of our Lord and Savior that we go is coming in great power to make changes unlike man can do. God is saying, I'm going to repair the world. I'm going to restore things. And we think about that is what this day pictures. And we think about the resurrection of the saints. For all of us that are, God says, you are worthy to be my children. I'm going to count you worthy anyway. And he said, I'm going to change you into spirit and resurrect those of old, like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Noah and others, the dead in Christ. He's going to raise up us to spirit life, even if we're alive, as we know. And that this day pictures that. But there's also so much more. So we'll look at these other trumpets because we look forward to the return of Christ, but we better listen to these other warnings so that we're ready for the return. Verse 6, here in Revelation 8. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. You think about when individuals hear those trumpets and they will not understand at first that it will announce the overthrow of the world's governments, because that's what Jesus Christ is coming to do, to set up an everlasting kingdom. And God will pour out his anger on this earth for man's disobedience. God isn't doing this for no reason at all. It's to show us that the way of sin leads to death. It leads to suffering. Therefore, we must be doers. God is asking us to hear and apply, to do the things that we're to be doing. And so let's look at the seven trumpets and consider whether we're ready for them to sound. So here in verse 7, it says, the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Brethren, consider that. Try to imagine what John is seeing here in vision, as God reveals to him future events that he probably can't fully grasp. And you think about the amount of forest it's referring to here and the destruction that will come and the smoke. I mean, I've talked to a few out in California. I talked to my son this past week, and he's quite a ways from the fires. But he said, I went for a swim, and I realized I could hardly even breathe. He said, I couldn't hardly do it because even the smoke blowing from 50 miles away or something. So think about the smoke of this, when all the grass and the food for the animals, the cattle and so forth, when God allows this to happen. Brethren, we don't want to ignore what's coming. God says it, it will happen. And if we wait, like those people in Peru, it will be too late. And you think about when a trumpet is blown for war. That is not the time to go out and start repairing your weapons. You know, clean your gun, fix your bow, whatever it is. That's not the time. We need to be battle ready. And that's what God is asking us to do. Because we are to be warriors for this way. We're to fight the fight and run the race. And God's inviting us to do that. As each trumpet sounds, God is allowing conditions so nations will turn to Him. It's a good thing. Terrible things happen, but it's good because it will work out for the good, according to God's great plan. And as these trumpets give warning, we also have warnings that should be followed. And we'll look at some of those as we parallel some of these trumpet blasts here. Brethren, it's easy to ignore God's warnings, and yet He's very patient. But if we continue to disregard His words, if we don't stop to reflect and change our ways, the outcome will be disastrous. And He's asking us to take the time now to think about that. Keep your place in Revelation. We'll be coming back here numerous times, the various trumpets. But let's turn back to Ezekiel 33. And verse 1. Ezekiel 33 and verse 1. As we consider these trumpets, we will tie in other warnings in the Bible that should stir us to action. There's a lot of things that are spoken about trumpets. And here the prophet Ezekiel mentioned terrible things that would come upon Israel. And we know that Israel's captivity was 130 years earlier than when some of these warnings were given. So it doesn't apply to them. It refers to end time Israel. And so Ezekiel is warning us just as much as he would have Israel at that time, so we don't go through, like they did, the captivity. So we don't go through the trials and tribulation. Ezekiel 33, verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. So we have to consider that, don't we? Verse 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. So we can apply that to each one of us. Are we going to listen to the warnings of God throughout the Bible, just as the people at the end time will have to listen to those trumpets and decide what they're going to do? Brethren, God will pour out his anger on this earth for man's disobedience. And we need to stop and think about, you know, whether we're going to be overcoming and growing before then. When God inspired this, he had the church in mind. To me, one of the aspects of it, that he's asking us to not wait until it's too late, but to grow and develop and prepare during whatever age we live in so that we can be in that first resurrection as pictured by today. If we close our ears like Israel, if we ignore the prophecies, you think about the devastation that will come, the death, the captivity. So many things will come to wake people up. Notice verse 10 here in Ezekiel 33. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. Turn, Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? So we can put our name in there. You know, why should Doug Wendt continue in a way that would lead me down the wrong path and to go through this? Why should you? You know, God is speaking to us just as much, even more so than the house of Israel. And so today, if we have ears to hear, we need to think about it. And Paul mentions back in Galatians 6 and verse 16, he's talking about the Israel of God, referring to those that are the elect, the saints. So a lot of these prophecies refer to us today, those that God is working with to prepare us to serve in the future. And he's asking us to take note of that and make the changes. We're asked to wake up and consider what areas that we haven't surrendered in. For each of us, it's different, but we've all have things to work on. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 8 and verse 8. Revelation 8 and verse 8. And so just consider. So a third of the trees have been burned up. All the grass is burned. And it's a huge impact, but it's just the beginning of these trumpets. It's only the first trumpet. So here's another sound. You know, when individuals hear the next trumpet, they'll have all the memory of the first trumpet and all that happened. And they're going to go, uh-oh, it's something else is coming. And they're going to be a little more aware of, like, what's going on. And we cannot fully imagine how bad it will be. Revelation 8 and verse 8. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Brethren, today, if something like this happened, we go, nothing's like this ever happened before. And it will be the same at that time, and yet these will be stacked right on one on top of the other. And so this will affect everyone. You know, you smell the rotting fish, the trade routes of all the major companies that are shipping things around the world, and people are saying, where's my food? You know, a third of the ships are destroyed. People are going to start going hungry that had food otherwise. So many things will be affected. And so some horrendous trials are on the horizon. Therefore, each of these trumpets are reminders for us to really think about what God tells us is coming and to make changes in our life so that we are ready and pleasing to Him. In a sense, God will knock the world to its knees. And that's what He's going to do with us. In a sense, now He's trying to teach us. We go through trials. We don't like them. But sometimes it gets our attention, doesn't it? And that's what God wants us to do with these, with this Feast of Trumpets. He's saying, I want all of you, my children, the called out ones, and eventually everyone, to surrender, to get on your knees, to look to God, to trust Him, to obey His laws, to honor Him and praise Him and be a light. This is what we're to be working towards. And these warnings were meant to turn everyone to God, but we know many will not listen. They will continue and refuse to repent, as it says later on. And so we should apply this to ourselves as well. We don't always listen the first time, do we? Just as when we were kids, we don't always listen to our parents, and later we go, oops, I should have followed that advice. But we have to be careful. When God gives advice, usually the outcome can be, you know, more punishing in a sense as we get older and we see the differences there. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15. As we just consider some other warnings in Scripture tying in with these trumpets. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 15. You know, here we have the blessing chapter, or curses as well, are mentioned here. And we'll notice some of the major warnings that are given to us. And we have a choice to make whether to follow it. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. So here we're under the cursing section, and it says, it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So brethren, it's a choice. You and I find that out. We, you know, we've said, oh, sometimes that isn't important, but later we find out maybe we should have listened more carefully. Verse 16, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Why? Because disobedience, as we just read. People are not willing to follow the laws of God. Verse 19, cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly. Why? Because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. So, brethren, all these things mentioned for disobeying, and it goes on to tell about diseases and about mental illness and about horrendous weather patterns. It mentions things like drought and the infestation of insects. The lists just go on and on, and we have a choice of whether we want to be blessed or cursed, and God has revealed that to us. Verse 33, a nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. Then we'll look next at verse 41. It says, you shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. Brethren, I could continue to read here, but I think you get the idea. God says if we continue long enough, like Israel did, like Judah, like we can, that these are the things that will come. And it even goes to the point telling about men and women would eat their own children. It'll get so bad that their very minds will get so confused as they pull away from God and become more deranged. And this is where it's going to be heading towards the end time. This Feast of Trumpets reminds us of this because God is showing us that's not the way He wants anyone to walk. And we need to be careful in that. So what areas of God's laws do we fall short in? It's different for each one of us. That's why we can't point fingers. We can't say, oh, look at there, I do better than that. No, it's what do I need to change? What do I need to do to be holy as God wants me to be holy? And the same for you. And God is asking us to do that. We must obey God with all of our heart so we don't experience these curses. Because blessings will come if we trust, if we obey. Let's look at the third trumpet. Go back to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation 8 and verse 10. Brethren, we're familiar with the parable of the 10 virgins, not referring to the world out there, but to God's church, to those He's called out. It says half of them are sleeping. And if we apply that to us today, you know, are we part of that half? Am I a part? Are you? Because God's saying half of us will, and we have at times, and hopefully we all wake up, but we need to think about that. God wants us to wake up fully and to be ready for the start of the kingdom, a glorious time, a happy time. He'll make a restoration unlike anything we've ever seen. I mean, we see some beautiful parts in the world now, but God will restore and have a kingdom unlike I think we can fully imagine. So Revelation 8, verses 10 and 11. So it says in verse 10, then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. So here, individuals around the world are hearing another trumpet blast, and then these curses come, these events that are terrible. And we can't imagine unless we're there of what it will be like. And so, brethren, we need to think about that. If we're not preparing, then we're setting ourselves up to take part of these first six trumpets. That's my point today. These trumpets, all seven of them will come, and we're looking forward to the seventh, but these first six are coming on the world, and we determine by our actions today whether we're going to be in that, or whether, even if we aren't alive at that time, if we're not following God, we'll be thrown into the lake of fire, which will be even worse than these, because we lose out on everything. And so God is saying, my children, continue, as we heard in the song, look up to me, continue to follow me, continue to obey me. All these trumpets are a part of the seventh seal, and they're all during the day of the Lord, the time of God's wrath. So brethren, are we considering the full ramifications of all seven trumpets and not just the seventh one. Let's go back to Zephaniah chapter 1. As we look a little more at what some of the prophets have warned, once again, God's voice trumpeting through his prophets during time. And look at some of these warnings. I can't imagine Zephaniah writing this under the inspiration of God and thinking about what he would have thought about this. Zephaniah 1 and verse 2. It says, "I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea and the stumbling blocks, along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord." Brother, whether this is in our lifetime or not, it behooves us to get ready, doesn't it? We don't want to be a part of this destruction that's coming. The nation of Judah didn't learn from Israel, their brother, going into captivity. They continued to disobey. They didn't take heed to what had happened, and they ended up going and following the same thing, being many of their fellow men dying out and going into captivity as well. Notice verse 6 here in Zephaniah 1. "Those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him, be silent in the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited his guests." And so at that time, you think about it, instead of giving your sacrifice, the people of the land became the sacrifice. Many of them died. And in inviting the guests, God invited the heathen nations around them to come and attack them. He literally turned their neighbors against them to wake them up. And so God will allow a powerful end time system to punish all those who continue in their sinful ways. And we may see that in the coming years. Our goal is not to try to predict when that'll happen, but get ready for if it ever does during our lifetime. Verse 14, "The great day of the Lord is near." And we can ask ourselves why. "It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty man shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness." Continuing in verse 16, "A day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men." And once again, God clearly tells us why. It says, "Because they have sinned against the Lord, their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like refuse." So this comes back to each one of us. We know that we've all sinned. We're all deserving of death. And yet God has provided a way, as pictured through his holy days that we see and listed in the Bible. And so none of us can afford to disregard what God has said. We can't go to sleep. And yet we can look around and probably friends and family of the past, they're no longer with us. And hopefully they'll come back. We pray for them. But we can't go follow them. We have to look to God all the more so that we're ready. You know, I'll just mention an example in the Bible. King Jeroboam, he didn't do very well in God's eyes. He made some choices apart from God. And at one point in his kingship over Israel, he had 800,000 choice men to go to battle. That made him feel pretty confident himself. But King Abijah over Judah only had 400,000. And so Jeroboam wanted to fight him. And Abijah said, "No, don't do this. It isn't of God." And even God spoke and said that. And so you think about here, let me just read in 2 Chronicles 13 what King Abijah says back to King Jeroboam. He says, "Now look, God himself is with us as our head, and his priests with sounding trumpets to sound the alarm against you, O children of Israel. Do not fight against the Lord your God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper." See, the words of God from one king to the other, but the other king was lifted up. He wasn't obeying. You know, he had allowed the golden calves and so forth. He had broken down the priesthood, and he was sinning. And so if we just refer to that story, Jeroboam thought he had it all figured out. It's like, I've got twice as many men. So he sets an ambush. But here's the difference. Judah cried out to God, and he intervened. And he delivered them. And that day, the kingdom of Judah slayed 500,000 men of Israel. Isn't that amazing? And he was so blinded, thinking I can rely on numbers or my own wisdom. And we have to be careful not to do that. And we can be like Jeroboam, thinking we've got it all figured out. And yet later we go, nope, that didn't work out as I had hoped. Let's go to the fourth trumpet back in Revelation 8, verse 12. Revelation 8 and verse 12. It says, then the fourth angel sounded. And a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that the third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And then verse 13, and I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who were about to sound. Brethren, they've just gone through, all these trumpets. Terrible things have happened, and there's more to come, because people aren't willing to repent. And we have to consider, are we willing to grow? Are we willing to listen to God? So when we think about what God is asking us to do, we have to consider strongly where we stand before God, where we are in our spiritual walk. Let's notice here in Revelation 9 and verse 1, just continuing past the chapter here, then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Brethren, those locusts are symbolic of the beast's military power at the end time. And we're told that Satan is king over them, over that group. And we don't want to be any part of that, because they will cause great pain. Verse 6, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. This behooves us to have God's Spirit, to have this seal on us so that we can escape this pain. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Verse 6, in those days men will seek death, and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. Can you even imagine torment for one day, whatever it is, here for 5 months, on top of all the other things? God is saying, children, we've got to look to him. We've got to trust him. We've got to believe that these things will come, and we're reminded of that. Israel will be punished severely during the trumpet plagues, because that was God's chosen nation. He gave them his laws. He said, I'll lead you and help you. I'll feed you and provide for you. And they didn't listen. Well, today, as spiritual Israel, we have to be careful too. Because we can drift. Even in the days and months ahead, we can let down. We can go back into the world. It's pretty easy. All we have to do is look around for many that sat with us over the last 50 years. Many have gone back. Even in their old age, I've seen people, after 50 years in the church, they go back into the world in their 80s, and that just baffles my mind, except for it is an easy way to walk, and so that's why many people do it. Brethren, many of the Old Testament prophecies are dual in nature, and they will be repeated at the end time. In Isaiah 6, just referring to that, the prophet asked this question, how long till your people wake up? And we can ask ourselves that, because we're all a little bit of asleep. None of us are perfectly awake spiritually. And here's the answer that God gives. Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate, but yet a tenth will be in it. And when we go to other scriptures in Ezekiel and Amos, it talks about the prophecies where a thousand will leave their city and only 100 come back, or 100 will leave and only 10 will come back. In other words, God may very likely only spare one-tenth of mankind, or at least of Israel, during the day of the Lord. That's up to him, but the point is the devastation will be terrible, and we have to, in order to be a part of Jesus Christ's return, in order to get ready for that, we have to consider the promises of God and all of these things that are coming, and to realize whether we're making the changes. Brethren, we need God's protection and His blessing so that we don't have to experience the persecution and the trials and the troubles and the heartache that are coming. And when we think about it, I could go to numerous prophecies in the Old Testament that show us that Israel was warned, and we can even be warned from those today. Here's a statement from Jeremiah, Jeremiah 4, verse 19. O my soul, I am pained in my heart. I cannot hold my peace, because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. And if we think about how that applies in our day and age, in our time, and what's coming, that we should feel the same way. These things are coming, and we hurt for the suffering and the heartache, but it should also motivate us to do something. And as we watch the news, as we see the headlines, they're truly showing that we're getting closer to the end of the age, aren't they? I mean, if we look at China, the things they say, and Russia, Iran, South Korea, and you just hear all these statements, and it's like Satan's just stirring everybody up. And we know the world is a mess today, but it's going to get much worse in the coming years. And I don't mean to sound negative by this. It should lead us all to change and to getting ready to that meaning of Jesus Christ returning and us joining with Him. So are we preparing our lives so God will count us worthy to escape all these things? That's one of the things we should focus on. Because He doesn't have to. We're not worthy, but He can count us that way. He wants to see His children doing and growing and overcoming. Let's look at a sixth trumpet. Go back to Revelation. Let's turn to chapter 9. Well, we're in chapter 9. Let's go to verse 13. Revelation 9, verse 13. And it says, then the sixth angel sounded. So as you hear these trumpet sounds, whatever they're like and how loud they are, and people have witnessed all these things, it says, this angel sounds, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Brethren, this could happen in the next decade. We don't know. I'm not trying to list any dates. I'm only saying, if we know this is coming, is our life showing that we're getting ready for this? Verse 16, now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. Staggering military army here. We need to consider that. And so you think about the number of people here that die besides the forest being burned up, besides the ships sinking and the water turning bad. You know, the wrath of God will continue to be poured out until all these things take place. Verse 18, by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, which came out of their mouths. Verse 20, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent. That's a bit staggering, isn't it? That they've seen all these things, they're still refusing to change their ways. They did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Brethren, these individuals aren't willing to change. And so there's more punishment necessary. I won't even go into it, but the seventh trumpet is broken down into seven last plagues, which are just laid upon this as terrible events, and we won't even cover them. But you think about what God has to do to get us, humankind, to change our ways. Brother, not one of us would want to even go through one of these plagues, one of these trials or troublous times. And yet, they are coming. And Paul encourages us in Ephesians 5 to wake up. He says, redeem the time. Are we doing that? Are we looking forward to all that God has planned out? I'll refer to Romans 13, brethren. There it says it's high time to wake up, all of us. Because if things change next year, we should look right now and say, am I ready for that? If if that thief in the night, if that avalanche breaks loose, whatever it is, what God allows, are we ready for that, what is coming? Are we close to God? Are we close to one another? Are we honoring God with all of our heart? Are we looking deeply inside to see what we need to change to be more like Jesus Christ, our older brother? Because in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, it says. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? And then it says, unless indeed you are disqualified. None of us wants to be disqualified. We don't want to lose out of our purpose for life. And so Paul reminds us by inspiration of God that we can let down, we can fall short. And this Day of Trumpets reminds us of how we need to really be thinking about what is coming and whether we want to be a part of the fulfillment beyond all these, you know, trials and tribulations. We want to be a part of that kingdom, but we're going to have to go through this first part possibly. Brethren, in 1 Corinthians, we're told the body is the temple of God's Holy Spirit. Are we cleaning ourselves up so that we allow God to come and dwell in us? Because he cannot dwell with sin. And yet he gives us a way to repent of it. And so he's asking us to really think deeply about how we live each day. To really be careful with our thoughts, to bring them into captivity. To be careful with our words and to realize we can be so hurtful, so offensive in a very quick way. Or to be careful with our actions that maybe we're used to it and we've been doing it for years, but God says, no, I want you to take a second look at that and think about how you're living your lives. Let's look at one last trumpet, the seventh trumpet, the trumpet that we all long for. Revelation 11, verse 15. Brethren, if we're not listening to the voice of God, we won't be ready to serve in God's government. Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This is what we normally picture this day all about, and it is about this. But God is asking us to look at the other ones to remind ourselves whether we're going to be ready for his return. That's what we need to think about. It's so important for us to consider that. This is the trumpet blast that we have been looking forward to our whole life. And it signifies the beginning of an everlasting kingdom. A kingdom we cannot imagine the beauty of it. You know, we just talked about all this devastation. But God says that's coming to wake people up. And now I'm going to give you things that will shock your minds. As he restores and changes the nature of the animals and makes the deserts bloom. And creates a pure language. And one religion, you know, under God, that we can all grow. And as the sick are healed, the blind can see change after change with his spirit being poured out upon all flesh. It will be beautiful when you think, hey, my neighbor knows about the truth. My grandkids who've never known this way are asking questions about God and his kingdom. And this is the way it'll be. And this is what's coming. And we know that we were created to become the children of God, to live in splendor and glory. In the presence of the Almighty. To think about how beautiful it will be when, with no more sin, no more death. Because that's what's going to bring these first six trumpet plagues. Man's transgressions against the Almighty will bring a lot of suffering. And so we have to be mindful of that. And God is asking us on the Feast of Trumpets to consider the whole package. And not just his return, but will we be ready for that return? Isn't our Father saying, show me you want to be in my kingdom. You know, don't just say it. Don't just sit here for church. No, do something. Live a way of life that proves it. And here's how we live. So if you aren't, and I'm not studying the words of God, then we're really not preparing in the way God would have us. He's asking us to fight, to persevere, to struggle, to trust him. And then he says, I will see you through it all. So no matter whether we're alive during these events or not, God has our back. He's willing to carry us through it. He's willing to help us. And so, brethren, God's voice is like a trumpet. It's loud. It's clear. And we should really stop to take note of that, because if we're listening and preparing, then we will be ready for the return of Jesus Christ at the seventh trumpet.